Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 474th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia, although I never go there anymore.
No, well, not the last year, yeah. Anyway. I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada, and I'm also an adjunct professor at the University of Alberta.
And what we're going to do today is we've done a little bit of stuff on iron recently. But
yeah, we've had two runs of iron. Yeah. We had one on the new versus the older iron products, the kind of novel iron products.
The heme ones and all that sort of stuff, and then stuff with vitamin C. But we thought there was one more tools of practice that that you guys have done that we thought would be useful. And I think it's going to give some very, very practical, useful information. And the evidence is not perfect, but it's at least informative.
Right. And so this came to me, interestingly, from two of my hematology colleagues. They're from Calgary, and they had written up, they had seen Tools for Practice in Canadian Family Physician and had written one up to go in there. Mm-hmm. They are Dr. Lee and Dr. Poon, and they had asked about, you know, doing a Tools for Practice. And so because that was their first one, and it's tough to actually write that brief, as you know,
yeah,
James,
exactly, yeah,
and get all the evidence condensed. So I teamed up with them because I've done quite a few of these, yeah, obviously, yeah. And so the whole premise of this is the idea of what about taking iron intermittently? So you take it every kind of second day, maybe only twice a week, that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. And the philosophy here is that that when you take the iron, if you're taking it intermittently, you will kind of upregulate absorption.
Yeah.
And they're measuring intermittent markers of iron uptake, like hemosiderin and things like that. But my discussion with my two heme colleagues is that's not what we do in primary care. We don't measure these kind of things. And most of the studies that looked at that were all very short term. And when I say short term, I really mean that, like mm-hmm. a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we really needed to do was look at common measurements for anemia, like hemoglobin. And if we take a step back, then ferritin, mm-hmm. looking at stores. And we need to look at it over the long haul, because what it does over 2 days is not necessarily what is going to help us over the long haul. And as you know, James, we've talked about this ad infinitum, that it's a great theory that you're going to upregulate and kind of, I always call this now cheating nature. You're going to trick nature into doing something for you where you're actually you can do less activity but get more out of it.
Right,
and
right.
So I just thought we needed to look at a little bit better study. Yeah. So our question here was, how does once daily iron compare to every day or twice weekly?
Yeah. And I think, you know, previously we've talked about, you know, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned anything to do with low doses, but
this is the first.
What? I know. Yeah, no. But because we previously talked about, you know, there's not a lot of studies on this, but, you know, it would not be unusual to recommend 150 milligrams of elemental iron, or somewhere between 75 and 150 milligrams of elemental iron a day. But there are studies showing that 15 and 50 does equally, yeah, well with less
it
side
really
effects.
It depends too on your groups, right? So we know, yeah, young women in particular, or women in particular of reproductive age, they're losing their iron regularly. They're generally eating less iron-related foods, and you're going to go over, yeah, that. And there's something about their absorption not being quite as good. So they're just much more likely to be iron deficient, mainly the fact that they're losing it regularly. So especially those who have fibroids or just heavier periods, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And that impacts why we see it much more commonly in females. And yeah, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. And you're absolutely right. 150 milligrams of elemental iron. I prescribe that when I'm mad at you.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. If I want to make sure that you get constipated and have stomach upset.
But there are some patients, as you know, yeah, just like no one, yeah, fits the perfect, no, bell curve, that need more iron to really, one, to get their hemoglobin up, and then to build stores, particularly when, yeah, they're
yeah,
losing.
Yeah, and that study, the 15 and 50, and was it in people who are, I think, over 70 or 75. Yeah. Yeah, whereas this, most of the evidence we're going to talk about today is in relatively young females.
That's right, yeah. Exactly. So let's start. So there's five randomized controlled trials from Europe, India, and Iran. So nothing in North America. The mean age of these patients was somewhere between 14 and 22. So all younger, and they're all females. And they were given anywhere from 50 to 100 milligrams of elemental iron. And let's start with the first one. It had 40 women in it, and their ferritin was all less than 25. And they were given 14 days of daily iron or alternate day iron for 28 days. So they effectively got the same amount of iron, mm-hmm. James, but they, because they went the different durations. So their hemoglobin started at 130 and they both increased by 4.
So yeah, whether or not it was daily or alternate.
Didn't really matter. And ferritin increased by 15. In the daily group and 10 in the alternate day group. So not quite statistically different. It was 0.06. We rarely put p-values in, but when it's that close, it's worth mentioning. And so if anything, what it's suggesting to us was daily was better. Now, the outcomes were measured in the short term versus the longer term. So over that span of 28 days, they got less iron than what you would get in 14 days on the daily. So that might affect the ferritin, but still it's the suggestion here is they're very similar. And if anything, daily is slightly better mm-hmm. at stores. So the next one after that is, 24, females with, ferritin less than 15 now. So that's quite low, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they were given daily or twice a week iron for 90 days. Hemoglobin went from 124 and increased by 6 in the daily and 8 in the twice weekly. And that was not statistically different. And you can see those are very, very similar, if anything, trending the other way. But ferritin increased by 16 in daily and 4 in four in the twice weekly. So that was statistically different and favoring daily iron. Now we're going to get into the bigger studies. There's three studies that are all around the 200 person numbers. And this was 203 anemic women, daily or twice a week iron for 12 weeks. So again, about 90 days. And they started at, their hemoglobin is actually now starting at an anemic level. So 91 was their start. And daily increased it by 32 and weekly increased it by 29. So it was statistically different because they had enough people. But I think you would agree, James, the difference between 32 and 29 is pretty small.
Yeah, and not clinically important.
Yeah, likely not clinically important. Didn't report ferritin. More abdominal pain, surprise.
Yeah.
More nausea. And more vomiting with the increase.
And pretty big numbers, too. I mean, you got abdominal pain of 41 versus 5, and nausea sort of 10 versus 1. And,
So,
and for any of you who've ever taken iron, that's what happens if you give big doses on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did, right? Yeah. So 50 to 100 milligrams of elemental iron every day, that's a pretty good dose. Mm-hmm. And we did our own statistics because they didn't provide them. So we did chi-squared Fisher's test on those. And they are in the adverse events. So 41 versus 5 is obviously even the 6 versus 0 was statistically different.
Yeah.
So because they used bigger numbers in this study, this wasn't a 2-day study of a 50. I was sent a study because they felt that I got this wrong. And the study that was sent to me had 15 people in it for 2 days.
Well, then you sort of have to rewrite the whole thing then because you've been proven wrong.
And of course, didn't report hemoglobin. Because you can't report any of that in that time. Anyhow, that's here nor there.
So it was a study of type 2 diabetes, which is weird.
There was no iron measured, or iron given.
Yeah.
No, it was. I'm joking. So 223 anemic women, daily iron for 3 months or twice a week for a year. Again, this is one of these ones that's trying to match it up.
Yeah.
So hemoglobin started at 97. Again, that would be anemic. And they increased by 23 in the daily and 31 in the twice a week. And the statistics were not reported, believe it or not. Yeah. And I can't do the stats on this because it's continuous data and I didn't get the individual stuff. So twice a week did look a little bit better there. Both of the, but then they, as I mentioned, they kept giving them iron a lot longer. So it's not a surprise that after the year, the people who were only given iron for 3 months didn't look quite as good. Mm-hmm. Ferritin, both groups increased by 20. So very, very similar. Adverse events in the once daily was 39% versus 18%. All dropouts were 12% versus 4%. Mm-hmm. Versus in the twice weekly, obviously being the lower dropouts for adverse events. And that was, or sorry, that was all cause dropouts. And the statistics there, James, was 0.53 p-value. So again, very, very close to statistically significant. Yeah. I would say that is likely true and likely meaningful.
Yeah. And again, it we barely even need to talk about that. You can just say it was 12 versus 4, you know, and it looks like it's more in one than the other. And if you got consistent findings in numerous studies, I don't, you know, you tend not to so much care about the statistical, and I know you don't. And I'm just saying, you know, to say, you know, even the things like not quite statistically different is, it's always tricky.
Yeah, but anyway, I know. But I agree with you. It's more the numbers. Like these numbers are pretty, and these 200 people, it's likely this is true. It's like, when I say true, it means plus or minus 5% on either
exactly,
side.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one, which I think, and then we can wrap up because there's a lot of ways to interpret this. Yeah. That I think it's quite good. So 204 females, 49% or half of them were anemic. And again, this was daily versus twice a week for 3 months this time. So it wasn't an unequal time point follow-up. And hemoglobin went from, or increased, they didn't tell us what the baseline was, but increased by 7.4 versus 8.5. So basically, again, the same. Mm-hmm. And ferritin improved more with the daily iron, although they didn't give us numbers. So, you know, I think what we're seeing, let's kind of wrap up first the summary of all five studies. Yeah. I think what you can say is if you follow people to the same time point, which was only done in 3 out of the 5, but if you follow them to the same time point, once daily iron will do two things for you. It will maybe slightly be better for your hemoglobin, but only marginally. It will be better for your ferritin. You'll get more ferritin likely. Mm-hmm. But you will also get more adverse events. So I think what these studies verify is that the whole idea of this upregulation of absorption with alternate day iron and all this stuff, it's not, there's no reality to that. It's not going to somehow, if I give iron twice a week versus once a day, it's not that the twice a week is actually going to have more iron at the end of that of a given time period. That cheating nature stuff is just not true. But it is absolutely true, and I know this will come as a huge shock to you, James.
I know
that the more you give of something, you get slightly better results in hemoglobin and a little bit better in ferritin, but you get more adverse events.
Yeah. So I think, you know, so, and I know just in general with all of the limitations of these studies, they're not perfect studies at all. There's you know, a lot of lack of blinding and blah, blah, blah. And some of the things you've already talked about. And so, you know, when you look at sort of this, as you go through, I don't see fundamentally that much of a difference between, clinically between the two, if you will, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really just, I would say more the increase in ferritin than the increase in hemoglobin.
Yeah, and again, those are all averages, and you know, you don't know what you're going to get from any individual person anyway. And so, absolutely, you know, the whole aspect of at least doing no harm, I think if you can reduce the number of adverse events from, you know, by 20% sometimes, I mean, I think that's a reasonable thing to consider. And it's, you know, it's a pretty easy thing. You could say you could try it daily, and if it bothers your stomach, go to twice a week or every second day or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, but I think it's
that's magic advice right there.
Oh, I know. It's just the common sense is as they say,
common.
It is a superpower. And as you get older and older, you get more of it, I think. And then when you're really old, you get none.
Yeah, that all goes away.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that would be the sort of approach that from all of this evidence is that you go, I certainly wouldn't be starting at big doses daily of iron.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, well, how much iron should I take? I kind of go, well, probably just grab one of them, of the iron supplements and take one tablet a day. It's not an unreasonable thing.
You're going to talk about the different diets.
We'll talk a little bit about.
Yeah,
for sure. But, you know, as you know, the different tablets, there's, you know, the iron supplements have, you know, this fumarate, sulfate, and gluconate, and they all have different amounts of iron.
Yes.
I don't believe there's anyone is superior over the other. The best, I just look at them and say, well, how much iron is it in, you know, per tablet or per 300 milligrams? And the fumarate has the most, gluconate has the least. But I don't really think anyone is better tolerated than the other. So I would just grab one of those and take one a day and see if you can tolerate it. And if you can, great.
Yeah. What I remember out of this is what you have here, James, is that the gluconate has the least. So if I'm most worried about people tolerating the adverse events of it and who are more patient and can't really have trouble with directions, like we've just said, like once a day, then go back to once every second day or what have you. Or, you know, in the cases where it's someone who really needs their iron replaced more, then I will say a stronger pill. But when it's not, like you might say, let's say gluconate three times a day, that's still 90, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of iron.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think you need to give it three times a day.
No, I don't. That would be rare. And then you tell them go down to two, go down to one. Because if they're getting 30 milligrams of iron a day, that's pretty good still in most cases.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a single tablet of the lower of the iron tablet has the lowest amount of elemental iron in it.
Yeah, the gluconate.
One. Exactly.
It's the one that comes, the study that you were mentioning earlier, the 15 milligrams of elemental iron per day. To really get that, you need a farinsol syrup or something like that to get that low dose.
It's hard
to find the right tablets for that. Gluconate is the one that gets closest on a single tab a day or every second day.
Yeah. So I think a single tablet a day, and then if it bothers them, spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. You'll see in practice, some will need more. They'll need more.
So what's your, in your approach, would you say you start it and then remeasure hemoglobin at X? When would you do it?
So it depends on how worried I am and that kind of thing. So it might be a month or something like that, but it could be as much as 3 months, depending on how they're doing. So if they're only mildly anemic, we have a cause, you know, we've done some preliminary investigation, a good cause, like especially in females of reproductive age and that kind of thing. If it's only mild, I might wait 3 months to measure again. And then I might start one tablet a day, depending on how bad it was. If it's bad and they're actually having heavy periods and all of that, then I might be giving two tablets a day or giving something stronger like a sulfate tablet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, it's hocus pocus. You're trying to practice it to the individual patient as much as possible, using the bit of evidence that you know and the little bit of, you know, kind of dosing and physiology around the elemental iron.
Yeah.
So,
and then I would also say to, you know, most people will tolerate it.
Yeah.
You can get away with daily dosing of it. But I think the key thing is to let people know, because I don't think everybody knows that iron will upset your stomach. I mean, people.
Oh God. Yeah.
So you need to let them know and say, you know, the side effects are, just generally an upset stomach, some constipation, you know, nausea and stuff. And if you notice it, you know, once you start these, then we need to cap back on the dose or go to every other day. That's their job. Your job is
if they're on twice a day, then they go to once a day and so on. And you can play with the type of iron. Like if we started ferrous sulfate and they're just having trouble with that, then that's when I'll switch them to a ferrous gluconate, right? Because it has less I remember seeing a patient who told me she couldn't tolerate the iron and she was asking for IV iron. And I looked through her records and she'd only been given Fumarate in the past.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we switched her to gluconate. And this is one of these things in medicine. So the patient doesn't come back. Does that mean they're frustrated with you and your dumbness, or they don't come back because you've actually helped them?
No, it's because you've actually killed them.
Thanks, James.
No, I'm just not just kidding. No. But yeah. You're right. You don't. It's so hard to know, right? But yeah. But that, you know, a much simpler method is to give a different formulation. And you know as well as I know that just doing something different sometimes leads to a different outcome.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just even the kind of selling it, right?
And yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Not saying that
no.
It's because patients are gullible. I'm saying we're all susceptible to that, right?
Yeah. And things change over time, you know. So, yeah. And then one of the other things we just wanted to briefly talk about it is, you know, you get iron through many different sources. It's not just, you know, you don't have to take a tablet necessarily.
Yes.
But, you know, we all have different dietary things. And so I spent a little bit of time trying to figure out, you know, how much iron is in all the different things that we eat. And it's not as easy as you think. There's so many nuances to it because, you know, there's the thing, you know, of heme iron versus non-heme iron. And I'm sure you've heard that sort of story. I mean, what was your take on it? I mean, I've always heard that, you know, heme iron is what you get from meat and apparently
yes.
It's better absorbed. And then there's yes. non-heme iron, which is what you get from everything else but meat.
Right. And I've heard that the heme iron is better, but I've never actually known how much better. Is it 1,000 times better? Is
yeah,
it 1.1 times better? Like what, how much better is better?
Yeah. And so I try to dig into all of that evidence and I sort of put together a table of the different foods that are available. And it's actually tricky because there's no great studies. There are people that have looked at, you know, how much iron is absorbed, and it's very personal, right? It depends a lot on the person, how anemic they are, and so on and so forth. But I could come up with a couple of sort of ballpark numbers that you can sort of not hang your hat on, but use for guidance, is that on average, heme iron is absorbed about 4 to 5 times more than non-heme iron. Now, that helps a little bit when you look at the amount of iron in certain things, because I originally looked at this and I went, like, beef, and again, I don't know how useful this is going to be, but beef has about 3 milligrams per 100-gram serving of iron. So that's 3 milligrams. But then so does spinach. And so I looked at those two and I went, then they're the same. Well,
yeah.
They're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, what you can say is if in a meat product, you take the amount of iron that's in it and up it by 4 to 5 times when you're comparing it to non-heme iron. And those are all the things that people eat, like spinach or enriched cereal or white beans or beans and all those sorts of things. And so, but the amount of heme iron that's absorbed and the amount of iron that's absorbed, period, is very influenced by how anemic you are and all of the other food that you're taking in. So I'm giving you a ballpark number of 4 to 5 times absorption of iron more than for heme iron than the non-heme iron, but these are just rough estimates. But
yeah.
but you should
actually give some of the numbers because you said they were 3, and that's a lot of them from spinach, white beans, legumes, potatoes, and that's all at 100 gram serving. It must be.
Oh yeah, yeah. What did I say? 100. I meant 100 gram serving. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, so 100 gram serving. That'd be very weird.
A milligram serving of potatoes.
Yeah, that's very. It's not much. Yeah, no. I don't know why I said. I said milligrams.
Should be grams. When you sent this to me as advice, James, I think you were worried about my my weight at the time.
Yes, I was. Don't eat. Yeah, eat 100 milligrams of potatoes. Yeah. So that's per 100 gram serving. And so the from a heme iron perspective, the most that you get is beef liver, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So that's, and it's about 6. So it's kind of double the amount of beef. Now, I don't know how many people still eat beef liver. I'm sure there are people. Certainly know, used to eat it all the time as kids and all that sort of stuff. So beef is about 3 milligrams. Beef liver is about 6. Chicken, pork, shrimp goes down to about 1. So quite a bit less. And then salmon and tuna is about 0.5 milligram per 100 gram serving.
Yeah. So small. But
yeah.
But then they're all heme iron. So they go up to anywhere from 30 to 2. Right?
Yeah. So the way I sort of the number that you could think about it is a 100 gram serving of beef liver is the equivalent of a gluconate tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ballpark. And then, you know, if you wanted to get the same amount of iron from a gluconate tablet with beef, you'd have to take 200 grams.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's the sort of numbers we're talking about. And then what I've always found interesting is, you know, if you eat any cereal that comes in a box, much of it is enriched.
Yeah, I used to, I think I might have told this story before, but I was biking through the United States. We biked the west coast of the United States down to Mexico, and my friend kept feeding me what we called birdseed cereal. It was just terrible. And then I said, today I want to eat a cereal of my choosing. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and of course I picked some sugary, terrible thing like Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops or something.
How dare you use the word terrible and Captain Crunch in the same sentence?
And it was wonderful. And we actually ate it on the front step of the grocery store,
yeah.
Pouring milk directly.
Of course.
But he was so like, this is terrible for us. There will be no vitamins or anything. And I said, I bet you this will have more vitamins in your cereal. And sure enough, because those sugar cereals are so enriched with all sorts of vitamins. If you read the label, by the label, they actually have more nutrition, I'm putting in quotations.
Yeah.
Just because they're basically taking Flintstone vitamins. That's what they're doing.
No, exactly. Yeah. And so what they do is they let the all of the sugar battle all the vitamins and, you know, put it into context. But yeah, so, and the enriched cereal, even if you try to get a number from the, it's anywhere from, it can start as for this per 100 gram serving, you can get as little as 15 milligrams of non-heme iron, all the way up to 40, even more. Like some of them have 60, 70. Like they are the equivalent of, you know, taking a ferrous sulfate.
Small tablet.
Yeah, a tablet a day. So, we just sort of put it into context that you can obviously.
But there's one you missed, James, that is very high on the list that might be hard to tolerate, but worth considering, and that's baking chocolate.
Yeah. So I didn't know this when I was looking into it. So baking chocolate, per 100 gram serving, has the most iron in it of anything.
Like that's not enriched.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's 15 milligrams of non-heme iron, which is roughly the equivalent of about
a steak.
Yeah. A well, or steak. At least a 100 gram serving.
Yeah.
Of beef. Putting it into perspective. Now, I don't know, you know, it may have a few more calories.
Yes. It's unsweetened, so that can be a bit challenging.
Yeah, so if it's unsweetened, yeah, because the sweetened has less because it's basically having tons of sugar in it.
So this, I think we're onto something here, James, because the Aztecs used to have who invented chocolate or created chocolate for us, they used to serve it unsweetened as a cocoa-type drink.
There you go.
So I'm going out on a limb here and saying that these people never suffered from anemia. Never.
I think that's, you know.
Solid science, right?
Oh, that's solid science. I mean, that's.
Just a few leaps of faith.
Yeah. I mean, no one can argue with you. You're a man of science.
I'm a man of science.
Something. But anyway, so those are just some of the numbers of putting it into context. So you do get more iron from, well, certainly beef and that sort of stuff. You know, chicken and pork, it's about a milligram. But when you multiply that 4 to 5 times, you're now talking about 4 to 5 milligrams per 100 gram serving. So these numbers are all ballpark numbers anyway. But we just want to remind people that you can get iron from food.
Yes. That you can get it. That's where most people.
That's where most people get it. Exactly. You don't need to necessarily give supplements. You just need to know what sort of food to eat. And obviously, if you're vegan or vegetarian, it is tricky. And probably the main way you can get iron is through enriched cereal. Those are the big numbers. You can get it with spinach and white beans and stuff, but you gotta eat a lot of it.
Yeah. For sure. Well, that was really helpful, James. I think we've kind of summed up that, you know, it's basically this whole idea of taking it on alternate days and everything. It's just a compromise between the amount of adverse events and the amount of iron you're going to absorb, really,
exactly.
in the form of ferritin. So And it's not like you're coughing up a lot of benefit to avoid these adverse events. So it is quite reasonable to titrate to what people can tolerate.
Yeah, exactly. So anything else, Mike?
No, I just want to mention that we do now have CFPC Learn as a online learning platform created by the College of Family Physicians of Canada, and that's now available for people. It costs $300 a year, but it's got all sorts of things. It'll soon have the podcast on it certified for credits as well, and it's going to have it has other podcasts, webinars. It has the kind of Jeopardy games that you've that some of you may have seen the peer team and James present, and it has online learning called instructional design courses that are interactive. So lots of great content, lots of options for people, and it counts your credits for you and automatically logs them if you're a family doctor. Yeah. So
the money is not going to us. This is
no.
Just people want to know. We're not. This is not,
hi, buddy. No, what? It's not coming to us.
No. So we're just saying that this is something that's been put together to try to help people figure out the whole credits and education and make it easier.
Yeah, make it way easier to get your credits every year and give you a huge different choice of what you want to learn about and how you want to learn it.
Yeah. No, exactly. So check it out. And I think it's going to be, there's going to be more stuff there on a regular basis. So
yeah, CFPC Learn, all one word, .ca.
Excellent. So check that out. We'll put links to it in the show notes. And so I think we'll just leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.